It's a Thought Police free zone. The Liberty Lineup radio show, where independent thought just can't be bought.
I'm an American.
Welcome to the Monday Liberty Lineup Faith in the Fire show with Stephen and Janice Graham. Today we're going to be talking about what happened last week with Obama's transgender edict. And we're going to be talking to Peter LaBarbera about what's going on in other parts of the country about that. And we're even going to be talking about pedophilia in Hollywood. So stick with us. Welcome, everybody. Listen, did you know that you can listen to the Liberty Lineup online by downloading the K-Talk radio app on your smartphone? Well, you can. And you can also go to k-talk.com and get great reception wherever you are, on your smartphone or on your computer. So become part of our grassroots movement by signing up at libertylineup.com, where you can also support the cause of liberty. Help us spread liberty around the world. Also, we'd like to thank our show sponsor, Patriot Mobile. They're the cell phone service that gives you the peace of mind of knowing that your phone bills are supporting only conservative candidates. So, if you'll just call 877-367-7524. If you're among the first 10 callers during this show today, you'll get a special offer. Just mention the Liberty Lineup radio show. Call 877-367-7524. That's 877-367-7524. Or for more information, go to patriotmobile.com. So, here we are.
Hello.
Janice and I are here. We're going to be talking about some crazy stuff today.
Oh, boy.
As you know, last week, it was all about the transgender bathroom bill, right?
Well, Janice? Edict, directive. The president of the United States telling every school in America that they've got to allow any child to go in any bathroom, which is what it boils down to, which is insane.
Yeah, and it turns out that we had a media availability last Wednesday, was it, Janice, when we went up to the state capitol?
Yes, it was.
Sherilyn Eager sent out a heads up to the media that said we would be up there at 11:30 to talk to anybody, any media who was interested. And so they came. Do you remember who was there?
Well, City Weekly gave us a long interview.
Yeah, we talked to Jordan Floyd from City Weekly for about 20 minutes.
Jordan Lloyd, a nice young man. But yeah, that's Jordan. A very liberal little newspaper, local newspaper.
Yeah, but there were a lot of cameras there. I mean, Channel 4 and Channel 2. You and I were interviewed on air at the Noon News by Rod Decker.
Right.
And so, you know, we got some good air, as they call it, for our side of the issue, which is...
Stop. No, this isn't right.
Yeah. we base our issue on God's law and his ideas of what's good.
Objective standard of morality.
Yeah. So there was some coverage on that. For example, on KSL.com, they didn't have...
any video, but they did do an article on it, which is interesting. And, you know, they took some quotes from people. In fact,
are you talking about the Deseret News?
No, it was actually KSL.
Okay.
And here's one. Let me read this to you. It says, "We think that what the president has done is unconstitutional, and we as parents are very upset and frustrated. He stepped into territory that doesn't belong to him. The federal government has no business being in our bathrooms." Well, that turns out to be a quote from me.
So. And here's one from me, from the Associated Press. "Children need guidelines. They need rules. They need order," said Janice Graham. "I'd like to see Obama, President Obama, go into the women's bathroom if the male-female signs don't mean anything." And that's their contention. They say that the male-female signs are the same as white-colored signs. Is that idiotic?
Is that outrageous or what?
So I'd like to see these people making that contention go into the opposite bathroom of their gender, of their sex.
If the signs are the indication of the discrimination?
Yeah, then they're discriminatory if they go into the bathroom that their body says they should go into.
And let me tell you, I grew up in South Carolina, and when I was a boy, I remember going to the Woolworth store or any of those dime stores downtown, and I remember seeing the signs that said colored. It was, in our case, it was colored men and women. So the color, the black people went into the same restroom, whether they were men or women. And there was also
terrible.
Two water fountains there. One said white, the sign right over said white, and the other one said color. And I remember the first time I ever saw a black person drink from one of those drinking fountains. It was very novel, and I was young and couldn't understand, but was beginning to. It was the craziest thing I'd ever seen, that they would dare do that. That's the way I was raised. I've learned since then to
that was all stupid.
Love and treat
and
people
cruel.
All like children of God.
But that's not the same thing.
No. And there was when we were there at that media availability the other day, which Sherilyn Eager had set up for us, they also talked to Delaine England, who is one of our Liberty Moms. She'll be on the radio Wednesday from 10 to noon, so tune in then. Here's the quote from her. "I'm totally in favor of standing our ground and saying this is a state's power. We have the power to make decisions, and we will make the decision that is best for every one of the children in the state of Utah."
Now, Stephen, you called our school district where we live, and what did they say?
Yeah, in fact, what I did was call as many of the school districts as I had time to, and this was about 1 or 2 o'clock on Friday afternoon. I called our Alpine School District because we live down in Utah County. And I also called the Provo School District, the Nebo School District, Jordan School District, Salt Lake School District, and the Granite School District. And I asked them all this question. What is it that you intend to do in light of the edict from the President of the United States about transgender? Well, the crazy thing is, with one exception, nobody was there to answer my question. They all said that they had someone in charge of public affairs.
But when they weren't there. Huh?
I just went to their voicemail. And I don't know if they just weren't there or if they just didn't want to take the call. But the one person I did talk to, and Sandy, which was Sandy in the Jordan School District, said they had been told by the state board and the governor's office not to do anything different right now.
And that's what we hear from the State Board of Education.
Yeah, and in fact, this is the quote from the state board letter that they sent out. "The state board is not providing a directive on this topic to schools and does not necessarily expect a change in current practices or behavior."
You know, this is just so lukewarm. This is just so sitting on the fence. I'm sorry. When crazy things like this happen.
And it is crazy.
We need some guidance. We need some leadership. Where's the leaders around here? I mean, what did the Lord say about people sitting on the fence?
Yeah, that was in Revelation, wasn't it?
Spews them out of his mouth. There is right and wrong. There is good and evil. There is order and chaos. And it seems like people don't much care about those things anymore.
No.
People that are leaders, people that are in positions of authority and trust. What's going on here?
Yeah, but you know what? But back to this media availability thing. One of the reasons we're talking about it is because we want you to know that there's something you can do. We sent out an email to our mailing
subscribers.
Subscribers and invited people to come. Let them know to come. Well, if you read the news articles, we had 10 people that showed up.
Yeah.
And folks, it's time to get out of your comfort zone. You can actually speak up and say what it is that you believe.
We know it's uncomfortable. We know it's unpleasant. Man, do we know it's unpleasant.
We've been called everything in the book at Standard of Liberty. Janice and I, as you recall, are with Standard of Liberty, and we've been doing this for more than 10 years, fighting the sexual activist movement.
Yeah, and we've been around the block, so we know how it is. We know that's politically incorrect. We know you get called every name in the book. We've even had terroristic death threats that the FBI has handled.
Yeah, we got the white powder in the envelope. That the FBI took away and said it was a terroristic threat. By the way, some people ask what the governor intends to do.
Okay.
And let me read you his statement. This was from about a week ago. It says, today's action, it was from Friday the 13th, which was when Obama did that thing. Today's action by President Obama is one of the most egregious examples of federal overreach I have ever witnessed. Schools are the domain of state and local government, not our nation's president. Unfortunately, this is exactly what I have come to expect from the Obama administration. If we have to fight this order, we will not hesitate to do so.
Well, that doesn't sound very fence-sittish.
No, it says...
Sounds good.
You know, he says, if we have to...
But when there's money involved, you just never know. People just cave in when there's money.
Yes, and
also when there's intimidation, any kind of
and intimidation. Sometimes, all they have to do is threaten.
Oh yeah.
You know, like when it comes to establishing these gay and lesbian clubs in our high schools, somebody says they want to do one.
Oh,
I remember
so afraid of being sued.
Yeah, and at Provo School District, we went there to speak against the GSA, Gay Straight Alliance. And the school board members were saying, all right, are you going to put up the money to fight this lawsuit? And all the ACLU, of course, is the one that's always doing the threatening. And that's all they did was, if you do this, we may sue you. And that's all they have to say. And people just, the school districts back off and they don't have any.
Oh, boy.
They don't have the guts.
No courage. No principles.
You know, it's interesting where we've come to, because we've been intimidated into silence in our very own neighborhood.
It's also misinformation. People aren't thinking things through. It was interesting when we were talking to Jordan from the City Weekly, the student reporter. He actually stopped and thought about some of the things we were saying, because he hadn't even given him a minute of his time. I mean,
we asked him if he was in favor of this
directive
bathroom thing.
Yeah.
And what did he say?
He said, oh, I think it's a negligible problem. And I said, well, what if you had a little girl who was exposed to a grown man in a public restroom? And he had to stop and think.
Yeah, and we'll get his answer when we come back. We're going to take a break here. This is Stephen and Janice Graham. We're on the
Liberty Lineup.
Liberty Lineup Faith in the Fire show. Or for more information, you can go to our Facebook, The Liberty Lineup Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Get set to save now with a couple.
Can Hillary become president? Answer is same.
Okay, this is Stephen Janice Graham. We're back on the K-Talk Radio, AM 630, k-talk.com, with The Liberty Lineup Faith in the Fire Show. And we're glad to have...
We're so excited.
Patriot Mobile as our sponsor. And if you want to join our grassroots network, you can get our updates and alerts and support the cause of liberty just by going to libertylineup.com. That's libertylineup.com. You can also like and share our Facebook page on the Liberty Lineup Radio Show. So, in this segment of our show today. We're going to be talking to Peter LaBarbera.
Yay, Peter.
Peter, are you there?
Hey, you guys. Hey, congratulations on the new show.
Hey, thank you. It's so nice to talk to you.
Yes, yes. I had a great visit with you guys in Utah, so congrats on the show, and you guys deserve it.
Peter was one of the people that participated on our Stand for Truth conference that we had back in October. And it was a great time when our side of the truth about the sexual activist movement was able to be heard. And we were grateful to have you there, Peter.
It was so fun to get to know you.
It was good to meet and get to know you guys. And you guys are doing tremendous work, as is Sherilyn. I'm just glad to be on your side.
Now, Peter, well, tell us a little bit about yourself and who you're with. I figured I'd just let you introduce yourself. You're with AFTA, A-F-T-A-H, which is...
Yeah, it stands for Americans for Truth About Homosexuality, although I'm starting to use the word homosexualism.
Oh,
because
excellent.
As you guys know, we're fighting an ideology. You know, when you're
right.
when you're a homosexualist, you are touting homosexuality and now transgenderism as good, as basically a civil right. And so, obviously, there's a big difference between the person who struggles with homosexuality, and our hearts go out to those people. We want them to get help and to pursue righteousness, and the activist who's telling the whole country not only that gay is good, gay is sort of the code word for, you know, homosexualism, but that now the increasing penchant we see of the movement is to force people to accept homosexuality and then to go after people's rights, even to not... You know, not embrace it, and they're actually working to put out of business people who are trying to get counseling help or your psychiatric help or psychological help, I should say, for minors who don't want to embrace homosexuality. I know you guys have personal experience with that in your family. Can you imagine in America in the year 2016, it is now illegal in some states to even get counseling help out of homosexuality for a young person?
I'm so glad you're making these distinctions. They are so important. And you're exactly right. Homosexualism is a thing, whether you're a homosexual or not. We were talking to a young guy the other day, and he said, well, I'm not a homosexual. I said, but are you a homosexualist? And he had to say he was. And I said, well, then you're part of the problem.
Absolutely. And Janice, some of the strongest homosexualists or you could say gay advocates, are straight people, people who never really had an issue in that area of their life, but now they are ardent, you know, basically ideologues, propagandists for this cause. We see a lot of young women, for example, in schools are complete. I mean, I get letters from people who are not quote-unquote gay, but they are strongly in favor of this agenda, and they think you're a hater if you oppose it.
Yeah, and so we see our society being run according to the exception instead of the rule. And when that happens, all the rules disappear. And this is what's happening with this transgender bathroom directive.
Peter, isn't this what leads us to an uncivil society or a chaotic society or maybe anarchy?
Absolutely. It's a disordered society because once you remove God's ordained boundaries for sex and marriage, anything goes. And we have on our website now, there was just recently a conference in Cleveland, there's another one coming up in Chicago for homosexual sadomasochists, in which, I mean, some I can't even describe them on a family radio show, the behaviors that are practiced, and all of them are call themselves communities. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So you have people, there's a grotesque practice, I can't even describe it, and they call it a community. And there's now the phenomenon of homosexual men who want to be dogs. They put a dog head on, they put a tail on, and they pretend they're a dog to somebody else who's a master, and that's a community. And so, you know, basically the quote-unquote gay community started it all by saying this is a new subset of humanity which, you know, plays by different rules, and they call themselves a community. And so if they can do it, why can't the transgenders do it? Why can't the... human animals, why can't anybody do it?
Well, and there's no boundaries to it because they have set a new arbitrary boundary, so why can't somebody else set another arbitrary boundary? And even if the gay community says, oh, no, we're not part of the pedophile community, who's to say that they get to say that that's wrong? I mean, there's no...
Well, can I say a point on that, Janice?
Yeah.
You guys got to go to this website, the letter B, the number 4, the letter U, act, before you act. And guess what they call themselves? They are the MAPS, the minor attracted persons.
Oh, right.
And they think of themselves as a community. They're,
sure.
They're not, they say they're not acting out on their sexual desire for children. This is just huh. their identity, and they're using the same exact language and model of the homosexual activists who said, first they were studied, then they were saying, well, you have to be tolerant. This is who we are. And then, of course, later on, all the radical stuff came. Well, now you have the minor attracted persons. They just want to be, this is who we are. This is our sexual
well, of
orientation.
Course.
So, Peter... we're talking about transgender at this time in our country's history, but last year, about this time, we were talking about gay marriage in the Supreme Court. How did we get to transgender at this point in our culture's history?
Well, first of all, an important fact. You know, the homosexual activists are trying to say, really, this is a separate issue. This is not... This goes way back to the beginning of the gay lobby. This is why they called themselves the LGBT movement, T for transgender. Now they've added some more letters, and I guess they're going to shift to calling themselves a sexual minority because they have too many letters. But, you know, you go back to the Stonewall riots, which were in a homosexual bar in New York City. There were drag queens at that. So they are interlocked, but essentially gay marriage, so-called, because it's not really marriage, of course, you know, that says that puts the state's imprimatur on this whole entire agenda. And it was amazing to see how quickly it shifted. Now you have the Obama administration, just they went from one to the next because you've got this amazingly huge and powerful and well-funded quote-unquote gay lobby
right.
led by the Human Rights Campaign. And the Human Rights Campaign is a radical advocacy group also for transgenderism. So they've got all this power and money built up. They have to keep it going, so now they just move on to transgenders. I guess the next thing after that will probably be multiple partner unions, getting marriage for those.
Right.
And eventually, what you were talking about, the before you act people, the minor attracted people, the MAPS.
Well,
you know they'll be
remember,
going.
NAMBLA, the North American Man Boy Love Association, was marching in the earliest gay liberation parades. You know, remember, the movement calls itself a liberation movement and a revolution. You read the books by the gay advocates now, and they're talking about how the revolution won. They're not saying how, oh, these reforms. They're calling it a revolution. And we know that most revolutions are extremely destructive. Very few revolutions, like the American Revolution, are healthy. Most are destructive. And this is a sexual revolution and now a gender revolution, and it's going to have a lot of victims in its wake.
Well, Peter, I see that you've been interviewed by a number of people around the country, is that right, lately about
yeah.
this?
Well, yeah, well, this and other issues, yeah, we get interviewed a lot, but not much anymore by the mainstream, so-called mainstream media, because, again, that shows the homosexual activist power. They're basically saying people like you and Janice and me, we are not really a legitimate opposition.
Oh, yeah,
this is a civil rights movement. We're just bigots and haters. We don't need to be interviewed.
Yeah,
extremists. We had some people that we were meeting with, and they said, you know, we agree with you, but the things you say are just so harsh. And
truth.
And what I said to him as the meeting was breaking up, I said, here's what I want you to do. Go back and look through our materials and send back to me a link to any of our materials that you think are harsh, because I want to know what you consider harsh. And you know what? They didn't get back to us, because I think what they were convicted when they went and looked at what we had written and the things that are on our website at standardofliberty.org, they found that it's all
people.
Based in truth.
And if you love people, you warn them of something destructive. I mean, that's
yes.
what real love is. I hate the redefinitions and the watering down of real principles and real feelings towards people that we have now.
Yeah, one of the scriptures.
Yeah, I know you guys. You don't have a hateful bone in your body.
Yeah,
well, thanks,
I used
Peter.
To joke, I said you could be Mother Teresa and be opposed to the homosexual agenda, and you'd be called a hater. It's,
right.
it's not how you act. It's what you believe. And what they want to do is they want to criminalize
yes.
the Christian biblical approach towards sexual perversion. And that's what homosexualism is. It's the glorification of a sexual perversion, ultimately. But remember, it's not... Your behavior is not who you are. Everybody struggles with sins and with behaviors they don't like. But this behavior, they've taken it and they've made it who you are. They've made it your identity, and now they have pride parades and presidential proclamations, and everybody's honoring this behavior by calling it who you are.
It's just a huge preoccupation with sex and gender. It's just so out of bounds.
You know, Peter, I've talked to people before, and we have a son who was involved in homosexuality, and he was able to overcome it, and it's ancient history to him, happily married with a couple of kids.
And most kids grow out of this. That's why you don't make them, you don't say they're transgenders.
But Janice, you know, the really shocking thing, and I think we ought to, as a movement, as a conservative movement, we ought to fight to ban this. We ought to fight to make illegal. They are now letting underage children get these sex reassignment surgeries,
which
is just a glorified word for basically destroying your body.
Making you sterile.
There's a case in Chicago of a 16-year-old girl, who thinks she's a male. Her parents worked with the doctors at Children's Medical, I believe it was in Chicago, had her healthy breasts removed.
Oh.
Now, I believe that should be illegal. At the very minimum,
it's child abuse.
Say, as an adult, that's a destructive decision, but do not allow such destructive behaviors to be foisted upon. It doesn't matter if a child thinks there's something. We need to protect children, and they're letting these children, even at very young ages, go through this process.
When they're just developing their sexuality, they're being totally bombarded by all these crazy models in today's world. Whereas when you and I were growing up, there was one model, man and woman get married and have children. And now there's all these other models. Well, of course, kids who are sponges are going to be affected by this and make some goofy choices. Parents are supposed to be parents and help their children grow up, not the opposite.
You know, Janice, what's shocking is, where's the media? If you have no critical media, you're basically... It's up to us, and we don't really right now have the power to get the focus on this. And so you would normally think the media would be like, wow, you know, a 16-year-old girl having her breasts removed when she doesn't have cancer or anything, that's crazy. But there's no media there. And so in Chicago, I'm sure, and probably like Salt Lake City, the liberal so-called mainstream media is invariably taking the side of the sexual radicals. And so they paint the Christians as extremists, whereas actually this ideology, this homosexualism, this transsexualism, this stuff is extremely radical, but there's no media offering a counterweight.
What could be more radical than a child mutilating their body?
Their healthy body. Doesn't that go against
the
very first tenet of the Hippocratic Oath, which is first, do no harm?
It also is against the first human value we should embrace, which is to care about human posterity. Because, you know, all these things make a person sterile in one way or another.
In fact, all of
in this case, in the Chicago case, this girl, this poor girl, that it was the threat of suicide. And I think when I watched the interviews on TV, it was, oh, you know, that I might kill myself. And that's horrifying.
Okay, she needs help about that.
Yes. Yeah, she needs help about that. She doesn't need to have surgery. And of course, by the way, I just have to say it, the doctors who were involved in this, a homosexual activist doctor leads this whole radical gender program at Lurie Children's Hospital. Lurie Children's Hospital in Chicago, you know, which is a very big name hospital. It was a gay activist in charge of that department.
So
the transgenders
are
merely applying... They learn from the homosexual activists. They're doing the same tactics. And one of the things we have to realize, all these discussions of transgenderism, we think, okay, we're going to win this battle. We're going to win this battle on the bathrooms. Guess what, guys? I know you're familiar with After the Ball, the homosexual activists' manual on you know, all the talk about the transgenders actually helps the transgender agenda, because the media is going to bring out all these cases, all these sob stories. They're going to try to make us look bad. And this is how the homosexual revolution was accomplished. At the very beginning of it, when it was much more less accepted in our culture, what did they want? They wanted everybody to be talking about gays, about homosexuality.
Right.
And that helped mainstream the agenda.
Talk about it as often as possible and make them sympathetic, even make them funny.
Yes. Part of
entertainment. And we're already seeing, I saw one poll where the Americans were divided on whether you should allow transgenders, you know, people with the thinking they're the opposite sex into the opposite sex restroom. And I thought, well, that's odd. Half the population, I don't believe that poll.
No.
But nevertheless, if you look at the Gallup surveys on homosexuality, it's appalling. They do the annual survey, and if you look at the acceptance of homosexual conduct, acceptance of homosexual so-called marriage, and this is because this is a media-led revolution. When one side has all the media power, you can accomplish a lot with that sort of power.
Yeah. It's a totally a media-led revolution, and people just eat it up. The people aren't thinking things through. They don't really care about their fellow man. They just care about if they're going along with the powers that be, which is the way to tyranny, actually.
Yes, and then we wake up and we find out, what? Underage kids are having they're allowing girls to have their breasts removed when there's no physical ailment, there's no cancer. That's crazy, but this is the revolution is always much more radical than what you know. And so if you go back to the early gay documents, I'm quite certain you will find quotes from gay activists saying, oh, we don't want to go into the schools. We don't care about the schools.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we're going to go take a break. We've been talking with Peter LaBarbera. This is Stephen Janis and the Liberty Lineup radio show, Faith in the Fire, on Monday on AM 630, k-talk.com. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. Okay, we're back. This is Stephen Janis Graham on K-Talk Radio, AM 630, k-talk.com, with the Liberty Lineup Faith in the Fire show. We've been talking with Peter LaBarbera. Well, by the way,
one of our favorite people in the world.
And you should join our grassroots network to get our updates and alerts. Just go to libertylineup.com. That's libertylineup.com. Sign up and support the cause of liberty. That's libertylineup.com. Peter, are you there?
I'm still here.
Oh, good.
haven't been run off yet.
You guys are just fellow radicals, you know?
Aren't we just?
Yeah, we were talking to someone the other day, and they were saying there are very few places left on the air where people can say the truth about what's going on in the country, and this is one of them. We've got to thank K-Talk Radio, AM 630, for having the Liberty Lineup show Monday through Friday, 10 to noon. And it's our pleasure to be with you today on Monday, the Faith in the Fire. The name of that show, Peter, Faith in the Fire, goes back to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were tossed in the fiery furnace by the king, and their faith saved them from that fire. So, that's what the way we feel sometimes. Don't you get a lot of people who are opposed to what you have to say and wish that you would be quiet?
Absolutely. And you have a lot of people who know what they should do, but they just can't bring themselves to do it. They sort of side with political correctness. And I think that's the evil of political correctness, is that it basically is people who know, a lot of times they know right from wrong, but they just sort of go along with the flow, and then they stop saying things they should. You know, it's like, I remember the case of a woman from Motorola. There was, I spoke with somebody who was a pro-family person. They were in Motorola, and there were two lesbians who were, quote-unquote, getting married. No, they were I think they were adopting a child, getting married, one of those two. And everybody in the company, this woman was telling me, they were basically pretending like this was like any other employee getting married or having a child. And, you know, the implication was, you know, they knew this wasn't right, but you couldn't say anything because of, you know, corporate political correctness. And that's kind of, I think, where a lot of Americans are.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you know, we were driving down the street yesterday, or was it the day before, and there's a greenhouse company that does wedding receptions, and there it was.
Oh, yeah.
What did it say?
Jacob and Jonathan. They have a little marquee, and they always put the couple's names together forever or whatever.
The journey continues.
And yes, the journey, Jacob and Jonathan, the journey continues. This is in our neighborhood.
Yeah. I mean, we had never seen that before.
We took a picture of it.
And we're all supposed to believe now that now the issue is just transgenderism. Homosexual so-called marriage, that's over.
It's passé now, right?
And we can never accept that any more than we would accept that abortion is okay. And I think that's one of the things of the homosexual agenda. There's less power on the pro-family side than on the pro-life side. You've got all these pro-life groups, probably thousands of them by now, you know, and there's a lot of pushback. On the homosexual issue, it's much harder to stand against the homosexual agenda. In fact, I've butted heads with some pro-lifers who refuse to even get involved because, oh, no, we're just about the life issue. No, you know, God doesn't honor us standing for truth in just one area and, mm-hmm. and on the side of evil in another area. We need to be consistent with God and stand for truth on all these issues.
Yes, exactly.
You know, one time we had one of our subscribers who wrote us and said he would stick with us if we were to go with the issue of divorce being too prevalent in our society. But since we were only talking about homosexuality at that point, then he couldn't have anything to do with us. It's like, well, can't we walk and chew gum at the same time? It's like
right.
We can be for all the things that are right and against all the things that are wrong.
And the problem is...
Yeah, and Stephen, let's remember, too, this is a little bit different. I mean, you don't have adultery pride parades every June. You don't have the President of the United States issuing a proclamation for porn users. You don't have the so-called Christian porn-using club, but you have now this whole gay Christian movement, so-called, which is basically just undermining biblical faith.
Yeah, they've subverted Christianity to suit their own whims and needs.
Proclivities.
Right. Hey, let me ask you about this, Peter. The headline that I'm reading from Breitbart says... Obama appoints transgender person to advisory faith council.
Right. Well, here again, it's Obama's subversion. I mean, Obama is the most radically pro-homosexual president in history. I think he is one of the most, he probably is the most, I'm just going to say it, the most morally evil president we've ever had. Because you have now multiple sources testifying that, for example, in the military, the Secretary Gates, Defense Secretary, said the one thing that Obama really showed interest in, the one thing he really cared about was, guess what? Ending Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Homosexuals in the military. Now they're trying to actually, I'm not sure where are they now, on transsexuals, transgenders in the military. They're pushing that through. They're doing the whole homosexual activist agenda, and yet Obama calls himself a Christian.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
What a hypocrite.
Well, I was reading about this. This is a man who, when he was age 54, and he's 82 years old now, 82, and he's appointed an assistant in the Advisory Faith Council of the federal government.
I'm sorry, his picture is scary. It looks like Halloween.
Well, the reality is, Janice, men make bad women, and
yes,
women make
they do.
Bad men. And this whole movement is all about passing. That's when you can fool somebody and they actually don't notice that you're actually a man under those clothes.
Well, I think women should be so offended by this. I mean, as we age, we try to make ourselves look as nice and as feminine as we can. And then men come along and impersonate women and they look absolutely hideous.
Well,
I'm sorry.
You know, it's horrible. It's just outrageous. I mean,
they don't know how to make themselves look pretty. I'm sorry.
If you go to Breitbart,
it's a mockery of women, and it's a caricature.
Yes.
It's trying to say this is what women are like, and we're going to put on the high heels, and then they have the audacity to say, and we should be allowed into restrooms where there's little girls.
Sorry.
I mean, with a man with a penis and artificially grown breasts, because that's usually what it is. A lot of people don't have the full operation. You're talking
right.
about basically what the porn movement calls she-males. You're
it's
talking
so
about
porn.
Those guys going into a female restroom.
The whole thing
and I think
is,
anybody with a brain should know that that's just wrong.
The whole thing is pornographic. When you're messing with body parts like that and transforming them into something unrecognizable, that is just pornographic. I'm sorry. The whole thing. And people get off on that. It's like the Chinese who bound the feet of the women. That was sexual to them, the deformity of it. This is what I've been thinking
right.
about. It's just, and I feel like saying, hey, if you have never had a menstrual period and are never going to, you are not allowed in here with us. I'm sorry. They haven't paid their dues.
Yeah, it's,
well,
it's just
an unreal movement. But again, I think we need to avoid the mistake of saying this is something totally separate from the so-called gay movement.
Oh, it's all the
that
same.
That was an unreal movement too. Remember, they had to lobby just like the transgenders have lobbied. They lobbied the American Psychiatric Association, APA. They lobbied it to remove homosexuality as a mental disorder. I believe they accomplished that in, what, 73? They got that through?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was political pressure. It wasn't really scientific. The left talks about science. They pressured those psychiatrists. They lobbied them, and they threatened to disrupt their conference. They disrupted meetings. Yeah. They went to meetings, and they disrupted psychiatric meetings to get that done. And now you have the transgenders doing the same thing because they don't want to be thought of as somebody with a disorder.
And this thing will not stop. The thing about, you were saying how decent Christian people, we just don't have the will to press forward like they do. There's something about evil. They want everyone to be as miserable as they are, and they just never will stop. We can't even imagine the next things they're going to do.
Yeah, and you know, you think, they got gay marriage. They got gay marriage.
I was
going to
say the World
Net
Daily headline that I saw Sherilyn refer to of, now you've got Elijah Wood saying, look, there's this pedophile network in Hollywood. You know, and it's been going on for a long time.
We saw that.
We're going to be talking about that with Jeff Chamberlain in the next hour.
Yeah, it's just, I hope he's safe because that was a brave thing to do, to speak up about that.
So, Peter,
it sure was, but it's, you know, you actually have, people are unaware of it. Go to b4uact.org, the letter B, the number 4, the letter U, A-C-T, b4uact.org. You have a bunch of people who claim to be MAPS, minor attracted persons. They claim that their sexual orientation is towards minors.
Okay.
And I think they're following the playbook of the gay revolution.
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
This is sadistic, because when you are pushing yourself on a child, it's because they're weaker than you, and they're not.
Oh,
as
but Janice, don't you understand? They're not talking about behavior. They're only talking about their orientation.
Oh yeah, right.
This is the way they do it.
I believe that.
We're not acting out. We're just, this is who we are, and we have to be recognized. You have to sympathize with us. And so basically, what happens is society, instead of sympathizing with the poor children who are victimized, they're trying to get us to sympathize with the people who want to. In their mind, they want to have sex with the children.
Okay, well, and I don't believe them when they say they're not acting out, because I think coming forward publicly and trying to promote this is a form of acting out.
And you're just looking to find public justification for what
is looking at child porn acting out? Yes. So first we endure,
right,
then pity.
And let's look at the gay. Let's go back to the gay movement. There's not a lot of sympathy among homosexuals for ex-gays. People like your son, people who came out of it, they're persecuting those people. They have no tolerance for those.
They don't even exist, yeah.
Peter, let me say, we've only got a couple of minutes left, so let's make sure that we get the message that you want to tell people about. And also, let's talk about, in the next couple of minutes, what people can do. Because sometimes we just feel helpless.
Well, we have to resist this transgender agenda that's coming down from the Obama administration. One of the parts of this thing is they're saying in schools, if your son or daughter at a public school identifies as the opposite sex or one of these crazy genders, like there's one called genderqueer, which is you can vary from day to day, I guess, what you identify your gender. They're saying the schools cannot tell the parents. Okay, so goes back to the pro-life thing. Remember, a child wants to have an abortion. Oh, they can be referred for an abortion without having their parents knowing. This is the agenda of people who are basically want to steal the morality, steal the decency from our children, and they don't want the parents to know. And so we need to resist this with everything we have, not to mention that it's not the role of the federal government to be dictating these radical policies to schools all across the nation. That's the exact opposite of the 10th Amendment, of tradition, of history on schools. And so we need to resist this transgender agenda with everything we've got. But remember that it also, don't lose sight of that, the fact that gay marriage, so-called, is evil, and we must resist that. We cannot say, oh, okay, that's over now. Let's concede that victory, because the left, they don't concede victories. When they lose, they say, oh, we're going to overturn that. And so conservatives have to act like the left in this respect. We cannot settle for their victories. We need to fight with everything we've got for the truth, because we do have the truth.
Well, it's counterfeit marriage, and everybody needs to remember that. It's not real. It's not mating. It's not human mating.
What we all we like to say is it's okay to actively stand for the right and to actively stand against evil. And people are so intimidated by the, well, who are you to judge idea.
We are supposed to judge righteously.
Yeah, we're supposed to make righteous
judgments.
Yeah,
judgments. And yet they have no problem judging us, though.
Oh, right,
you notice
right, right.
That? They call us haters, bigots, homophobes, transphobes. Now, they'll call us every name in the book. And when somebody says accuses me of hater, I say, well, do you hate me? And usually they say no. And I say, well, I don't hate you either. I just disagree with your ideology and the behaviors you are espousing.
And pushing on children. That's what makes me the maddest. Children are growing up in this crazy world where all this stuff is being promoted and shown as normal, natural, good. That is just this child abuse.
We have to protect the children, and we have to understand that this agenda harms children, and we have to see what's, I mean, if you can pull your kids out of public schools, by all means do it, because you will protect them more if you do that.
Okay. We'd like to thank Peter and Barbara for being on the K-Talk radio show. We'd like to also thank our sponsor, Patriot Mobile, where your monthly bill goes to support this show and only conservative candidates and causes. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the second hour of the
Buck Police Free Zone, the Liberty Lineup radio show, where independent thought just can't be bought.
Sorry for talking over you, guy. I was just saying the same thing. This is
red, white, and blue.
Whoops again. Okay, now it's Stephen Janis back for the second hour of the Liberty Lineup show. We're going to be talking about some interesting stuff, so stick with us. Listen, we'd like to thank our radio show sponsor, Patriot Mobile. They're the only cell phone service that gives you the peace of mind that your monthly bills are supporting only conservative candidates and causes, the ones that you like, including this show, so we appreciate them. Just call 877-367-7524. And if you're among the first 10 callers during our show today, you'll get a special offer. Just mention the Liberty Lineup radio show, Faith in the Fire program. So call right now. 877-367-7524. That's 877-367-7524. Or for more information, go to patriotmobile.com. Listen, we've been talking about the transgender thing that, what is it, an edict?
Directive, I guess.
That Obama did the
wrong.
Other day. But here in this hour, we're going to be talking to our friend Jeff Chamberlain. He's our Hollywood Why Guy. He's the host of the Hollywood Why Guy show on Fridays. He's on a little sabbatical, but we're glad to have him with us today. Jeff, are you there?
I am here. Hi. Hi, you guys.
Yeah, and we'll miss you down here, buddy, and we're wondering what's going on with you. You still up in Park City, or, you know, what's happening?
You know, it's kind of like I feel like I got stuck up on my mountain here, you know, for the last few weeks. But, you know, it's been a while since I've made the trip down to the station. Love listening to, of course, Liberty Lineup radio show. I'm right there in the middle of all of the chat and discussion that's going on as far as the team goes. But I haven't been down in the studio.
Well, the snow has melted, hasn't it?
It has. I have to really, you know, I've got to walk about a mile at the very top, and we still have little patches. And I can't really ski or snowboard on it, so I just lay down in the snow and get a tan
Yeah, well,
yeah, just reminisce of the good old days a few weeks ago when we used to ski down the mountain.
Jeff, we do call you the Hollywood Why Guy, and tell our listeners, why is it that we call you that?
You know, that's the, and I just have to ask, why do you call me the Hollywood Why Guy?
I mean, do you know the why of Hollywood? Is that it?
No, listen, the problem is I am always asking the question, why? And I think if we can start asking the right questions, we might be able to start getting the right answers. I don't know. This is just a part of my personality quirk. It probably drove my mom and my dad absolutely insane, but I was always asking why. Mom, why? You know, why is it so important that I've got to put this shoe on right, this foot, and tie it the bow on the right and the left? I go, why is that so? She goes, just shut up, Jeff, just do it, you know? And it kind of went on from there.
I believe in the question why. Remember that great, funny show?
Galaxy Quest.
Galaxy Quest. When he says, but why? I always say that to Steven. But why? Yeah. I mean, this.
Yeah, when they had been pretending to be someone they weren't.
Yes. But why?
Very interesting. Very interesting. Listen, honestly, I think this is huge. I think it's a big part of my approach to life in general. And certainly the radio show and our theme of standing for truth and independent thought, and you know, this is not a thought. This is a thought police-free zone, and you have to be asking the question: why, what, how? How did this happen? Are you kidding me? Right now, today, with what's going on in the world, the world's problems, and I don't want to go through the list, but come on, do we not understand the gravity of the situation the world's in, the country's in, our families are in, our religious liberties in? And right now, what are we preoccupied with? We're going to talk about men and women sharing the same bathroom. You have to be kidding me.
Yeah,
it's the end. It's I ridiculous. Can't believe it.
Well, you know what? Jeff, we've been going nuts over this article that we saw today in the Daily Mail. It's a newspaper. Yeah, it's got Elijah Wood.
And Frodo.
He's Frodo from Lord of the Rings. And he's saying that there's a pedophile ring over there in Hollywood. And my question is, why? For the why guy.
Well, the why on that one is kind of easy. The other, and we can talk about that, because it has to do with some very basic issues of if we can explain that why, then we can explain the why of all the transgender issues and everything else that we're talking about with the social revolution and the sexual revolution that is just being escalated to unprecedented levels. I mean, we grew up in the 60s where we thought, oh my gosh, look at what's going on in the world. That was minor. That was just
nothing.
The beginning of the revolution compared to what's going on today. Uh-huh. But coming from Hollywood, and in part answer the question of why I'm the Hollywood Why Guy, I spent 30, but it's actually been a lot longer than 30, but 30 seems to be a comfortable number that I feel okay in publicizing on radio. Yeah, I've been in Hollywood for over 30 years, let's say, and started at a pretty young age, and the Hollywood culture was never a culture that I was raised in or grew up in, and I came in as a young adult, 21 years old, mm-hmm. and looked at it from really kind of fresh outside eyes, and was really kind of amazed at that culture. So the question, unlike why, is how is it that 100 active abusers exist in Hollywood?
Oh,
and how that is tolerated, and what does that say about the culture of Hollywood? And all I can say is, well, no, believe me, there's a lot more that I can say about it.
Jeff,
but
when you say
absolutely the tip of the iceberg, there's no question about there's more than 100, and it's just a subset of a lot of other sexually related deviant behaviors that are institutionalized in Hollywood. There's no question about it.
What do you mean when? What do they mean when it says there's over 100 people that are being protected in Hollywood? I mean,
I think what he's saying. Now, it's an interesting perspective, because Here's Elijah Wood. He grew up as a child actor. I followed his career. Brilliant actor. And he, along with a lot of other young, vulnerable children, but it's not, you know, this phenomenon is not relegated only to youth. I mean, this is a typical display of power.
Yes.
It's concentrated in the hands of a few gatekeepers that's being
right.
fully exploited. And basically, you know, the sexual appetites, which everybody has, I don't think we can deny that, but when somebody has free reign and sits on an enormous amount of power and money as a gatekeeper, you suddenly realize that you have the power to
do anything.
Basically, you can have sex with anybody. Let's talk about sex, because, listen, we're talking about sex here. We're talking about this powerful drive, this human drive, this human nature. We're talking about sex, and I think we've got to be able to start identifying it.
No, we can't be squeamish.
No, you just really can't. It's got to be out in the open. So when he says, you know, hey, 100 people are being protected, what he's saying is there are probably 100 people, men and women, mostly men probably in this case, that are gatekeepers, that are in very powerful positions. People absolutely know about it, and they're saying nothing about it. Nobody's saying anything. Not only their peers are not saying anything about it, the people that work with them side by side that may not be acting out and exploiting their powerful position, but the young men and women are not saying anything about it because, A, they're embarrassed, they're humiliated, they're demeaned, they've been victimized, and C, or B, I don't know, which letter am I on? And they don't want to jeopardize, A, their successful career in
right.
Hollywood, or they don't want to jeopardize the potential for being successful.
Yeah, that's
right.
The basis of some of the allegations against Bill Cosby, isn't it? You know, they wanted, I've got to do what he says or else, and he'll help me get what I need.
Absolutely. Well, yes. The psychology is what I find so interesting.
Yes.
And, you know, this could take up an entire show. Who are these people? Bill Cosby. But it's a perfect example. You've got somebody that's, listen, he's not he got to a point where he owned his show. Basically, he was the marquee talent. He had an enormous amount of power. And it's kind of like, hey, you know, do you want a guest star on the Bill Cosby show? Come up to my dressing room. And that kind of thing. Listen, everybody has heard about the casting couch in Hollywood. Typically, before the whole gay thing became so prominent, it was like, oh, you know, it's basically women that are being exploited. The fact of the matter is it's women and men have been exploited for, you know, since the beginning of time, really, probably in Hollywood, because of the fascination of it. The money, the power, the glitz, the glamour, it's been thought of as just the price to pay. And by the way, the people that engage in gay sex or sex, and just, there's no difference in many people's minds of just paying the price. I can tell you stories about people that have traversed through and come up the ladder that have simply thought of it as, listen, I'm not gay, I prefer to sleep with women, but honestly, what's the big deal?
It's all just...
I'm gonna get a guest star role on this show or that show, and it's going to be worth it. And by the way, it's not all that bad.
Well, it's all just naughty, and we call that in our church, we call that unrighteous dominion, right?
Absolutely. And it goes down to the very core of human nature, and in that, you know, when we have a little bit of power and a little control, we want to exercise it. And anyways, you know, psychologically, I think people are validated by the extent that they can exercise their unrighteous dominion.
Right.
Don't you think?
Yeah,
but children, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm a grandma. I'm a mom. Children, this is just hideous. People, what has happened to people's decency?
Okay. And you have to ask the question, why, right? Why? How does this happen? It's very true. You do have to ask that question. Of course, Hollywood is a microcosm of just a sample, an example of what's going on across the country. And the dynamics of what I saw in Hollywood over the years is are certainly, you know, certainly a revelation to me as I've tried to, you know, unravel and unpack the psychology of this culture in Hollywood. In this particular, the dark side, listen, Hollywood has a wonderful culture, a creative culture, and a, you know, and a wonderful side to it. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
But we also have to have a discussion about the dark side. There has been a gay mafia, for example, that has been known and understood in Hollywood since I got there, which was 30-plus years, let's say 40 years, right?
So they are
been there.
Things.
It's been a part of the culture, and everybody's just kind of lived with it. They're the gatekeepers. Yeah.
Hey, yeah. Jeff, we're coming up on a break, and I have a couple more questions. Do you think you might be able to stick with us on into the next segment a little bit?
Why?
because
no.
He's kidding.
Yeah. The answer to that question is, I want to know what we can tell people that they can do to address this problem. Because apparently it's a problem, and here we are, all people.
We're like, putting up with it.
We go to the movies, and we watch television. So what is it that we can do
to
address this problem?
We can talk about it.
Yeah.
We'll find a solution.
Yeah, we'll be right back. This is Steve and Janice Graham. We're the Liberty Lineup Radio Show, and we're doing the Faith in the Fire today on 630k-talk.com. We'll be right back. Stephen and Janice Graham here. We're back on K-Talk Radio, AM 630, k-talk.com, with the Liberty Lineup Faith in the Fire show. And we invite you to join our grassroots network. All you have to do is go to libertylineup.com. That's libertylineup.com. And you can support the cause of liberty with a donation of any amount. That's libertylineup.com. And you can also like or share our Facebook page. It's the Liberty Lineup Radio Show. And we've been talking with Jeff Chamberlain, our Hollywood white guy. He's on the phone with us all the way from Park City. We stretched that string real tight, Jeff. And are you still there?
I am still here. I'm just right up the 80, the 80, not that far away. I'm shouting from my rooftop condo right here on Main Street in Park City. It's beautiful up here. I can't tell you. Just absolutely gorgeous. Of course, I'm always a commercial for Park City. I love it up here.
Well,
it is
yeah.
Nice.
We got to go come up there sometime and go down that alpine slide.
that's always fun. Oh, there's so much to do up here.
Oh.
I mean, it's just such a fun place. And, you know, there's a family film festival. This is the Park City International Film Festival, which is going to be up here for the very first time. It's the beginning of it. They're just launching it, coming up, I believe, in August, very close to the Park City Kimball Arts Festival, which is pretty well known, well attended. It's just a fun time up here coming up. And those folks we had on the Liberty Lineup not too long ago.
Right.
It's going to be fun.
That sounds great.
Well, you know, we've been talking about Hollywood, and we got into this article from the Daily Mail in England about Elijah Wood exposing the fact that there are pedophiles all over the place. He talks about they're currently sheltering around 100 active abusers. And I have a question about that. And it's, you know, I said before the break, I want to know what people can do. But before we get to that, if he admits that there's 100 active abusers, isn't that just the tip of an iceberg, brother?
Well, you know, he's probably, yes. And the answer to that question is yes, absolutely. When you talk about abusers, these are probably hardcore abusers where it's not being done in secret.
Oh,
there are people that know about it in the office or in the industry. Mm. it's just well known. And the reason they know about it is because, you know, you mentioned earlier, Peter LaBarbera, by the way, another great voice, unafraid, courageous, much like you guys. Thank you very much, Steve and Janice, for not tiptoeing around these very difficult, hard issues, you know, that you fight for and stand up for. Peter LaBarbera, the same thing.
He's
great. Thank you.
Yeah,
and thank you to you guys. And I know you take a lot of heat for it. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. I've always considered myself, unlike my liberal, leftist, Marxist, secularist friends in Hollywood, they think of themselves as revolutionaries. I've always thought of myself as a counter-revolutionary, and I pride myself on running against the stream in Hollywood and trying to buck the tide. And so I recognize and acknowledge and want to give credit to others that I consider patriots and co-patriots in the fight as counter-revolutionaries.
Yeah, Jeff, yes. It's an amazing thing to me that in our lifetimes, we've seen the transformation of Hollywood from people who were patriotic and loved our country and were God-fearing to what we have now.
No, it's amazing. You know, when I got into the industry, I had the opportunity early on. One of my first forays into the industry, as a matter of fact, at the age of 21, was to work as a background atmosphere, extra. And that's kind of an interesting story how I got into that. But here I was on major studio lots all over Hollywood, working on major TV shows and motion pictures. I found myself rubbing shoulders with the very tail end of the golden era, these Hollywood movie stars, personalities, the golden era of Hollywood, yes. And I had opportunities to meet Robert Mitchum, Henry Fonda, Glenn Ford, Hal Holbrook, some of these real iconic, Charlton Heston, worked with these people. And from that point, to see the arc that has that Hollywood has transformed itself through to get to this point is absolutely stunning. And I've seen it. I've been an observer of that firsthand, and it's a perspective that I just don't think a lot of people have, for sure. And part of what I'd love to be able to do, and part of my mission, is to really pull back the curtain on Hollywood, and you're going to see that little old decrepit wizard man that's not even a wizard pulling these chains and knobs in the background trying to say, get away from me, Toto, and pull that curtain back. I think it's about time we pull back that curtain, expose Hollywood for what it is. The bottom line is, let's tell the truth, let's stand for the truth, let's have an open discussion on this, and in part, that would be the message, I think, for listeners. At least let's understand Hollywood for what it is, and you decide what to watch and what not to watch, but understand there's an agenda in Hollywood, and the creative community in Hollywood is very homogeneous in their activism, and their ideologues. In many ways, they abhor institutions, and religion, you know, falls into that category, and now I'm rambling. Go ahead.
Well, I think that's exactly right. People need to recognize that religion is usually put down or shown to be the crazy people or the religious people in any show. Also, there's always gay characters that have absolutely nothing to do with the plot, or else gay characters that have a new, it gives them more fodder for more plots if you have gay characters. So there's an agenda going forward to push that on the rising generation.
Hey, Jeff, what about this? Janice and I just went and saw a movie the other night called The Abolitionists.
And
Timothy Ballard, and he's helping rescue people.
Yeah.
From young people.
So this is Hollywood, but it's kind of like fringe Hollywood, right? Because
Listen, we have to understand that in today's world, in Hollywood, fortunately, there's a lot more distribution opportunities out there with the internet and different marketing possibilities that do exist outside of the mainstream gatekeepers and the mainstream culture, creative culture of Hollywood. Film, independent film, is certainly one of those domains. Television is a separate and unique industry in many ways. The economics are very, very different, and the product, the way it's cultivated and percolates up from the creative community, is very specific and unique to it. There's very few television outlets and distribution possibilities, unlike in film. Okay, so
sure. There's
a little bit, the dynamics are a little bit different. The Abolitionist, great example of this. Tim Ballard, somebody that I've had an opportunity, he's been on the show a few times, interviewed him. Jerry Mullen, a good friend of mine, Academy Award winning producer for Schindler's List, was the executive producer on that. And also Dinesh D'Souza's films that came out.
Yeah, 2016.
Right, 2016 and in America. Great, great champion of truth and patriotic agenda. I love this man, Jerry, a good friend of mine. And he's a perfect example of the Hollywood types that will stand up and are standing up more and more and more in Hollywood. And it's kind of interesting, over just the last 5-6 years, our conservative friends in Hollywood have kind of found each other. Gary Sinise is one of those, John Boyd mm-hmm. is one of them, Tom Selleck is one of those. I was kind of brought into this group and able to kind of rub shoulders with some of these conservative Hollywood iconic figures, and not all actors. There are a lot of them are producers, writers, costume designers, you name it, getting together in a fellowship, right? And coming together and saying, I'm not the only one in Hollywood that is conservative. I actually love my country. I love my God. I love my family. And I'm not, I'm so glad to know there's other people that do as well.
That's great.
Yeah, that is nice to know. Now, listen, Jeff, us regular people out here going with watching movies and sitting down to watch TV shows, is there anything we can do? I mean, can we write letters? Can we call somebody and complain? and yeah. if we do, do they respond to that or what?
Yeah, I don't know of any letter writing campaign. It's not like you can write a letter to the head of CBS, and say, hey, I just don't like your programming. They don't care. I'll tell you what they do listen to. They look at the Nielsen ratings. They look at ratings. They look at the box office. They look at the numbers. Hollywood is all about numbers.
So if
all
Jesus
about numbers.
If Jesus pictures are being popular, then here comes, the one about Noah.
Exactly. And that's what's going on. That's what's going on, of course. I mean, it all began with Mel Gibson, whenever that was, Passion of the Christ, 10 years ago. Right, $1 billion performing franchise worldwide. Do you think Hollywood didn't stand up and take notice? Of course they did. And they said, oh my gosh, we have this audience. Let's tap into this audience that we didn't even know existed, the Christian audience, the audience of faith. And all of a sudden they started developing these little sub-brand incubator brands within the studio and said, hey, if Mel Gibson can do it, we can do it better. And they started trying to make Jesus movies, biblical movies, et cetera. But you're absolutely right.
And then
many of them failed miserably.
Yeah, you ended up with Noah being an environmentalist.
Aaron Sorkin.
You guys cut down too many trees. That's it.
That's the worst evil in the whole world.
No, that is so true. Perfect example. Perfect example of how Hollywood just doesn't get it.
No. Nope.
But fortunately, there are some great sub-brands or distribution outlets that truly are tapping into the market of faith, family, freedom, patriotism. We are a voice. We do represent a big market, and Hollywood reluctantly has to recognize that, and they are, and they're doing their best to respond to it. But it's those that really get it and
Mark Burnett.
Well in that market.
Mark Burnett and his wife.
Yes. Bless their hearts. They're doing such great work. I love them. Had an opportunity to run into them and talk to them a few times. Had them on my show. Interviewed them. Well, actually, I don't think they were on the show. I didn't actually broadcast the interview yet. Still have it, though. But it's people like that are willing to stand up and be truthful and honest about principle. And that's something that's anomalistic to Hollywood. It's for whatever reason, and actually I have some reasons for that really could take up another show, that Hollywood is anti-institution for the most part. The creative, this little creative, interesting, homogenous community are interested in being rebellious in the very core nature in terms of being cutting edge, anti-institution,
mm-hmm.
And that includes constitution, that includes biblical institutions,
morality.
You name it.
Yeah.
Morality is all a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 Well, listen, Jeff, we don't want to keep you all day.
We would like to.
Yeah. But I know you've got all that relaxing that you've got to do up there. And
no, I've got to go find my patch of snow up on the mountain before it melts. And it's getting pretty warm, so I'm going to be shooting out the door here. Listen, what a pleasure it is to be able to spend a little time here on K-Talk Radio, AM 630, the Liberty Lineup Radio Show, Faith in the Fire, 801-254-5855. I don't know if you're taking calls, but I just thought I'd throw that out.
Just throw that right in.
You're really good at that.
Well, thank you for being with us today. And
Absolutely.
We hope to see you back soon.
God bless.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, he's a great guy. He knows a lot. He knows what's happening.
Jeff's been around, and so you got to tune in his show. Even though he's not there every time, he calls in quite often, frequently, and pitches in, just like we were able to get him on the air today.
Well, Stephen, I know something parents can do.
Janice?
Yes.
What is it?
Well, we've written a few books.
Yes, we have.
Yes.
And let me say, Janice and I represent Standard of Liberty. And you can find out about Standard of Liberty. We've been doing it for about 10 years. And Standard of Liberty can be found at standardofliberty.org.
And we also have a blog.
And it's
connected.
It's standardofliberty.blogspot.blog. Or
no,
if you go to standardof.com. But if you go to standardofliberty.org, there's a link there right at the top of the center column that will take you to our blog. So take a look at those.
What I want to say is educate yourself. Don't just take things on the surface. Think things through. Is this allowing anybody who wants to go into any bathroom, is that a good thing for our children? Is that a good thing for future generations? We say no. There has to be some boundaries. There has to be some propriety. There has to be modesty. All those virtues. We need to uphold those or they'll be lost.
Yes.
And it's cruel to our children. And another thing we can do is educate our children and grandchildren. That's why we've written a few books. And one of them is called Me, Tarzan, You, Jane.
Yes, Me, Tarzan, You, Jane.
And
we're coming up on a break here.
Okay.
But when we get back from it,
we're going to have excerpts.
Yeah, we're going to have some excerpts from it. Janice has written this book, and I'm the publisher. We have a publishing company that's called Tidal Wave Books, like the thing in the ocean. And when we come back from this break, we'll give you a few excerpts from it and tell you how you can read the entire thing for free on our website. This is Stephen Janice Graham. It's the Liberty Lineup Faith in the Fire Show on AM 630, k-talk.com. And we'll be right back.
We believe in the American way, and we built this country called the USA, and we fly our flag because we're proud and free. We're Americans. Red, wine, blue is our way of life. Never back down from a challenge or a fight. Nature provides, God gives the rights. We're Americans. We make up America. This amazing America. Oh, yeah. We fish the waters and we hunt the lands. We forge the steel with our own two hands. With what we've got, we do the best we can. We're Americans.
Okay, we're back. This is Stephen Janice on the Liberty Lineup Radio Show, Faith in the Fire, today. And guess what? Garrett Smith has just joined us.
Yay.
Thanks for coming in.
Yeah,
Garrett.
Great to be here. Glad I could make it for the tail end.
Yeah. Now listen, we were going to talk about our book, Me, Tarzan, You, Jane. But before we get there, we want to take a couple of calls. So let's take a call here from Anita in Syracuse. Are you there, Anita?
Yes, I'm here.
What's on your mind, Anita?
Well, I'm just very appreciative of your programming and of the things that you bring up and so on. Homosexuality is certainly not new. It was a downfall of Sodom and Gomorrah. And, you know, again, to go back to, I think, the bottom line is a lack of information that we as a public get. We certainly don't get it from the media. And when we do get it, it's doctored up to make homosexuality or transgender sound fun and good. In fact, I understand in some schools they even provide a little belt for girls to wear that represent a penis.
Oh, criminy.
That is sad. But anyway, back to the point that the United Nations has also voted to accept homosexuality, transgenital, or genital sex, and so on.
And that's really surprising.
It isn't surprising.
That's a joke.
It isn't surprising because we have very few, actually, that are controlling the social media. And I mean throughout the world. Now, in China, they have done a study by MSM or something to that effect, the acronym. Anyway, that says they find that their same-sex men are more prone to suicide. And this is in a report on 2012, just 4 years ago. And also in Sweden, they have also come up with that finding.
Yeah, the social experiment is not working out, is it?
And here in America, we have the same technology, but we have to search to find these findings. They don't come to us through our social media.
No, you know, Anita, one place I want to get a pitch here in for this. We did a conference back in October that was called Stand for Truth, and people can go to the libertylineup.com website and go onto the blog and look down a couple of pages or whatever, and you can find the video of the entire Stand for Truth conference where we tell the truth about homosexuality.
You can also go to the Liberty Lineup YouTube channel, and you can find all of the programs there as well. There's three segments. They're all about 2 hours long. That's a great place to go.
Well, you people do a wonderful work.
Well, thank you,
and
Anita.
I've been involved in the fight for many, many years.
Well, good.
And the very things that I thought when my children were younger are now in place. Planned Parenthood provides just horrible information through their school programs. The United States government has funded many of these organizations.
Oh, yeah. You're right, Anita. Now, thanks for calling. We've got another caller. We've got to go and pick them up. But thank you so much for calling, Anita, and call again. Okay, here's our next caller, Elaine and Sandy. What's on your mind, Elaine?
This morning I got up to have my morning tea. I turned on my TV, and this is what I heard, that the Obama is going to let the military pay for over 40,000 troops to have sex change operations.
1,000?
Oh, boy.
No, 40,000.
Crime.
And they're going to allow them in the military, even if, they're in transition or they are a sex, whatever. You know, I can't talk about this stuff because I'm bald on one side of my head because I stopped pulling my hair out.
Elaine, we sure have the wrong guy as president,
No, it ain't only him. This is, what they're trying to do, I'm serious now. They want us to say that this is normal, and it's not normal, and I'm a bigot, so I'm never going to say it's normal.
Well, we need to be against things that are harmful and destructive.
No, this is more than harm. This is being infiltrated by people who breed this stuff, and they're trying to get the children and the next generation to breed this is normal. It is not normal. And if you say that it's not normal, you're a bigot. You are not a bigot. You are a religious person in some form of religion. I am a Catholic, and I'm proud to be a Catholic. And so if it makes me a bigot to believe that marriage is between two men and a woman, so be it, and people shouldn't be having sex changes, then I'm staying a bigot.
Okay. You're right, Elaine. We agree with you, and thank you for that call. So that is, I think that's probably the call, all the calls that we're going to be able to take today. Let's talk about, like we said a while ago, This little booklet, this book we've written, and it's 28 pages long, and it's got pictures, a picture on every page. It's for, written for
parents, teachers, and leaders. It's gently worded and fun for the youngest children, filled with God's timeless truth about male and female romantic feelings and marriage. You can feel comfortable reading this to any age child. What I'm saying is this is something we can do. We can deliberately and purposefully teach the right things to children, because the world is bombarding them with the wrong, unlimited wrong messages and harmful messages. And so this little book is a good guide for parents and a good resource so that you can purposely teach your children what they're not hearing in the world around them, and to counteract the harmful things they're hearing.
So, Janice, why don't you give us some excerpts from that book?
I'll just read one page. I'll just open random page. In our world today, there are many dangers having to do with those strong romantic feelings. Bad behavior and wrong ideas are all around us. The feelings developing in young people that prepare them to be a husband or wife, father or mother, can be hurt and get confused. They can get going in a wrong direction, like an elephant gone wild. You might say we have an elephant stampede going on in our world when it comes to manners about romance and love. Some people are acting very badly indeed, which causes trouble for everybody. And we can see that happening now with the president telling schools all over the country that they should allow any gender or sex of person to go in any bathroom. So it's bad sexual manners. It's bad manners all around.
And kids need to be taught the truth in today's world like no other time before, because they are just indoctrinating our kids with the wrong sexual ideas. Garrett?
But this, this book, Me, Tarzan, You, Jane, these aren't the ones that the schools are paying for.
Oh,
they're
no.
paying for
perfectly
Mommy,
normal.
Mama, and Me. And I Am Jazz, these total transgender LGBT books that are being used in the youngest of ages, you know, from kindergarten to 12th grade. It's all in the public schools, and these are the ones that are having to be put forward because we have this anti-discrimination law that says we need to teach that all types of families are equally good.
You were mentioning in that part you read there, Janice, there was an elephant that was mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say one of the other books that you've written is called Chased by an Elephant, The Gospel Truth About Today's Stampeding Sexuality.
And that's what it is. It's stampeding.
Yeah.
We're given these urges and this drive for essential reasons, which is to reproduce and to have families. And when that gets out of bounds, there's just no, we can't even imagine the next thing that's going to come up with this sexual revolution. I mean, did anybody imagine gay marriage 30 or 40 years ago? Did anybody imagine transgendering being acceptable?
The people that are pushing the agenda, I think they had it in mind. This has been in force for a long time. And, you know, as we talked with Richard Norman last week, it's something that happened in Russia, in Germany. It's the cycle that continues to happen. So, you know, for the people, the normal people that are thinking, that are thinking with Judeo-Christian values, it's just surprising. But to those who are behind the scenes and promoting the secret combination, that destroying the family, destroying religion, it's been planned.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
It hasn't just happened. It's been planned, but because we're not standing up, we're not being able to overcome it.
Yeah, their plans are going forward apace because we haven't stood against them. There's a tendency, I guess, for us to just stand by, wring our hands, and say what a terrible mess things are and expect that someone else is doing something about it. I want to say about this book that you were reading from, Janice, Me, Tarzan, You, Jane. If you go to our website at standardofliberty.org, right on the top of the center column, you'll find a link that takes you to the text of the entire book. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have the pictures in there, but you can go and read and print out, if you want, the text of this entire book, and we recommend you do that. And read it to your youngest children so that they start getting the idea.
Or get some language or some ideas of how you can be teaching this to your families and reinforcing it in yourself. Because how can we teach something we don't know ourselves? When we had to go through this in our family, we learned that attitudes and ideas about human sexuality are learned. If you lived on a desert island, you wouldn't know anything about it. So the proper attitudes or the improper attitudes can be learned. And so we have to deliberately teach the proper attitudes to our children these days because they are being bombarded with all sorts of falsehoods about it.
Yeah, let me say, we're just about to run out of time for our show today, but I wanted to say that when we were talking about the troubles that are going on with sexual abuse in Hollywood and such, I got to say that Sherilyn Eager, our fearless leader on the Liberty lineup, has lots of stories and experiences mm-hmm. along that line. And her show is coming up tomorrow. It's the Fire on the Line at 10 to noon. We recommend that you listen tomorrow because she's going to weigh in on this too.
Yeah, she called in but didn't have time to be on the air.
So, folks, there are things you can do. You can speak up in private conversations. You can show up to the state capitol when we have an opportunity to speak with the press and let people know that they're not alone. That's one of the things that people are so concerned about. They think they're all alone in their feelings. And when we can get the word out and when the press will interview.
And we're still free. We don't have to forfeit our freedoms. We're still free to say the things. People sometimes think that, oh, things aren't allowed anymore. But they are still allowed. Your opinions are still allowed.
Yeah, so speak up. And don't be intimidated into silence just because you're afraid someone might disapprove of what you have to say. If you know that you're on a firm footing and it's your opinions are based on God's word, then by George, speak up and enjoy speaking for that which you know to be true.
And we were asked the other day, don't you think you're fighting a losing battle? And we said, yes, but guess what? Losing battles, losing causes are the only ones worth fighting for. Quote from Mr. Smith goes to Washington.
Yeah. Well, that's the end of our show. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Patriot Mobile. Tomorrow, like I said, be sure to listen to Liberty Lineup's Fire on the Line with Sherilyn Eager. This is Stephen Janice Graham and Garrett Smith saying goodbye. You appreciate